We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Ryan Wachowski. Josh is on vacation today. He's in the Hamptons eating lobster tail and enjoying himself with some other people not named us. It sounds very good, doesn't it, Ryan? We are at Hillcrest Golf Course today for the BMA Foundation annual golf tournament today, raising money for the BMA Foundation, which goes to help so many different foundations around Kansas City. And you can go to bmafoundation.org and donate today and help them out, help foundations all over Kansas City and raise a ton of money. And every dollar raised will stay here in Kansas City. But the golf tournament should be great. They're saying Hillcrest is the best it's been in 10 years. So everybody looking forward to that. There's plenty of beer on the course as well. So if you want to come out and hang out with us today, feel free to do so. Just ask for Nick Paradise at the door, and he'll get you in a foursome if you want to play golf today here at Hillcrest. So come on out, bring your greenbacks, and have a lot of fun with us here on 610 Sports Radio.
I actually thought you made up the name Nick Paradise.
No, Nick Paradise is a real person. No,
I'm looking at him. I've spoken with him on the phone. Now I've seen him in person. It's
correct.
It's quite shocking.
Yeah, he's very real person, and a very nice person as well, putting this whole tournament together by himself. You know, didn't want help from anybody, so that's a good thing. So Nick doing it all himself, doing a great job with the golf tournament out here today. Person who's not doing a great job is Carrington Harrison. I mean, we're just going to get to it right from the jump, man. I'm not sitting back, and I'm not holding back. Everybody doubted me in the Survivor pool, and Carrington, we're not even into really week two yet, and he's already been eliminated from Survivor pool.
0-2.
Picking Carolina last night.
Not
now,
strong.
I will say this. You know, I back and forth yesterday at about this
you
time.
You almost talked me into it.
I know, right? Like, you don't lose at home on Thursday nights, right? You don't lose at home on Thursday nights. And Carolina now 0-2 on the season. Both of those losses coming on Thursday night, and Carrington has now been completely eliminated from the Survivor pool. And I understand he probably had more votes than anybody else when it comes to the Survivor pool. Because he was talking all kinds of smack that he was going to win this thing, and he is now officially eliminated. 2 weeks, two losses. He gone, as Denny Matthews would say, gone, Carrington Harrison from the Survivor pool.
I have a theory. I think he just didn't want to have to do it.
Oh, that could be a good
point.
Like,
I think laziness is what really motivated this thing. Like, I don't think he just wanted to have to put in the work each week. So that's why he's mailed it in.
You mean putting in the work of just selecting a team?
That's right. That's right. I mean, when you go Cleveland week one and then you go Carolina, you pick a Thursday night game week two.
Sure. But at least he picked the home team in week two for the Thursday night game.
Sure, I guess.
You can normally go, with the underdog, and that would have been a stupid pick, and we'd been ripping him for that. But he went Carolina yesterday. Again, I teetered on that. I thought about taking Carolina. But Cam Newton, I said it to you yesterday on the air, Ryan. Like, what's happened to this guy over the last couple of years? It seems like the interest that he has in football is waning. He cares more about wearing a fashion and looking like my 90-year-old grandmother after press conferences.
He had
like a
shawl on
yesterday. What was that with him? But, I mean, like 2 years ago, 3 years ago, this guy's the MVP of the National Football League. And now here he is as just a pedestrian quarterback at best and a guy who can't lead his team to victory. Victories anymore, and that's the stuff that I shouldn't say scares me with Patrick Mahomes, but you can see how quickly it ends with guys in the NFL. And Cam Newton a couple of years ago was the toast of the town, was the league leader in everything. I mean, this guy was the MVP. Everybody loved Cam Newton, and now here we are just a couple of years later, and it looks like Cam Newton's best days are behind him, and that's why we have to enjoy every moment we have with Patrick Mahomes.
I feel like we used to be able to ride the peaks and valleys with players a little bit better. Now, and look, I know Andrew Luck isn't the first guy to do it, but he's the most recent in memory that, you've got guys walking away from football well before, their body should say, hey, I'm done. And,
right.
and look, I get Andrew Luck had a lot of injuries in his career, but a lot of these guys, you start questioning whether or not they love the game, or you question whether or not they're actually motivated to do it. And with salaries, you're making $120 million in 5 years. I mean, why wouldn't you want to dip out and make sure you save your knees, save your body, save your brain,
right?
All of these things. But I think it does make us question whether or not guys – legitimately want to play the game and legitimately have their heart in it, or if they're just out there trying to get a paycheck and then get out because they're good enough to be at that level.
Well, and you see so many guys over the years, Ryan, and I always use the Zach Greinke analogy of standing with him in the dugout back in like 2003 or 4 and him saying, man, I just find baseball boring. And I'm like, whoa, bro, slow your roll here, man. You're just getting called up. It's time for you to not find baseball boring. But you realize how many of these guys truly just don't love the game. They love being an NFL player. They love being a baseball player. They love being an NBA star. They don't necessarily love playing the game. And I hate to sound like an old man with the salaries the way that they are, but who could blame a guy for making $100 million in his first contract and playing 5 years and, as you said, dipping out after you make that kind of money? Because what's the incentive to go on? Usually the incentive to go on is to get that next big contract or that next big contract. But every contract is such a big contract right now, you truly have to find guys that love the game to keep them around a long time now in the NFL. And I think that's the difference where Patrick Mahomes comes in versus a guy like Cam Newton or maybe even Andrew Luck, who a year ago I would have said loves the game, but not enough to stick around and put his body through hell. But I think right now we're looking at Patrick Mahomes as a guy who truly loves playing football. Like, that's his passion. And I think that's becoming rarer and rarer in the NFL, and I think it's part of the reason why I think the Chiefs can be Tom Brady retires in the next 10 years. You look at the next, what could be the next dynasty. Well, who has the quarterback that's obviously very good, but also really loves playing the game and has that passion for playing the game? And right now, Patrick Mahomes has that passion. Hell, it could change in a couple of years. He's still a baby deer that just came out of the womb and is running around and having fun.
All Bambi leg.
Yeah, but in a couple of years, if he gets hurt or banged up or something happens and it doesn't go his way, maybe he's a guy that just goes, you know what, I've already made $150 million. Why do I need to keep playing? And I think that's where we are with Cam Newton. And I can't blame these guys. He's made his money. He's got other interests. He wants to do other things, and you get to that point in life where you're like, man, there's a lot out there right now. And I think Cam Newton, from the way that I'm watching this guy play right now, he just doesn't love the game like you need to love the game to be a successful quarterback in the NFL.
And it's
that's kind of where we
too,
are with
because
him.
We have guys like Alex Smith who are walking around with a halo around his leg talking about how he really wants to make sure he can get back and he
sure
didn't want to go out this way. Like, I mean, it's just insane to me to see some of the juxtaposition between players like Cam Newton and Alex Smith. And I'm not, knocking on Cam. I get it. I understand. Like, he's a very physical player, and
sure,
he's probably taken a huge toll. Some of the things we probably don't even know about.
And,
right?
And look, a lot of the years he was playing, he didn't have a guy like Christian McCaffrey who he could hand the ball off to and really, quite honestly, save Steve Smith and maybe Greg Olsen mixed in over the years. I mean, Cam Newton had to do everything on that offense to make that thing tick, and that's why it's so important to protect your quarterback and not have him take that pounding, because you're watching Cam Newton all of a sudden hit that wall. We saw Andrew Luck hit that wall. It happens to guys in the NFL, and I don't want to see it happen here in Kansas City. Like, I'm going to be greedy. I want 15 years of what we're seeing out of Patrick Mahomes, but that's not the norm anymore, Ryan. I mean, it just isn't.
I mean, I think it does make you at least conscious of the idea that you need to be good across the offensive line.
Yeah, you
like
do.
When you
yeah
have an asset like Patrick Mahomes, that's the most important thing. Look, we've talked about it a lot. Do you need weapons around him? Do you need a Tyreek Hill? Do you need these guys around him? I mean, I think I'm all for having more talent.
Sure, absolutely.
But if it were between Tyreek Hill and a great center, I'm taking the center, like, because I want to protect the asset that we have in Patrick Mahomes, because let's face it, we all think that he can turn, guys off the couch into stars.
Sure.
Right? We were jokingly saying, you think he could take 6 cardboard cutouts and go out there and beat a team. So, like, to me, I feel like it's starting to shift the balance in how we view, at least as fans we view it, because let's face it, these guys are the ones that are the face of the franchise. These are the guys that we want to buy their jerseys and we want to root for them for a decade plus.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you've got guys that are, taking their check and getting out, and look, again, I don't fault you for it, but when you've got guys that are doing that as a fan, it's difficult for you to really latch on to somebody, really have that face of your franchise, and really, start building something towards the future.
Well, and that's why, too, as fans, you got to root for the laundry. You can't root for the player, because the players come and go, and they come and go so quickly.
The name
now
on the front, not the back?
It is, though. I mean, because I think no matter what happens with Patrick Mahomes, right, no matter how his career goes here in Kansas City, the day that he retires, people are going to look back and go, I wanted more. I didn't get enough. And people are going to be mad at when he decides to step away because of how good he's been. And you've got to really just take care of yourself. And that's why we mock Tom Brady all the time. But, man, everything that that guy does to stay in shape and to keep his body where it is at the age of 42 is really, really remarkable. So yesterday, it just wasn't a day for the Carolina Panthers. And it really wasn't a day for the NFL. What's going on with the National Football League? We are a week and a game into the league, and we've already had two games knocked off the air because of weather or because of bad television, things and whatnot. And we saw it yesterday with the Thursday night football. And I'm not a guy who's going to complain about camera angles, but I can't take a whole game of an aerial camera because
there are plenty of people that were there to complain about the camera angles
because you got knocked off the air because lightning struck you. Now, so the Chiefs game loses everything because they get knocked off the air, and now the Thursday night game loses all but two cameras because they got knocked off the air. This is big business, NFL. You've got to do better than that, than to put these two products out there in back-to-back weeks now. I mean, the NFL has got to figure out a way to have some kind of backup and generators and things ready to go when cameras get knocked off the air, because last night, as much as I like those camera angles mixed in,
right,
I can't take an entire game. I was getting dizzy.
It doesn't
my
feel
head
like
was hurting.
A video game there.
Right? My head was hurting last night. Like, I got to turn this off and go watch Wings, man. I can't take this anymore.
I mean, again, I think maybe I'm just not appropriately reacting to it because it's not my team and I didn't really care.
Sure.
It's Thursday night football. It was background noise.
Right.
I was interested in the game because I had Mike Evans going on a fantasy team. That was about it.
That was about it for you. Yeah. I was interested in it because it was Thursday night football. And I'm like, oh, this is cool. Okay. Why are we still seeing this camera angle?
I mean, there was a moment on Wednesday where I felt kind of, like I needed my fix of football.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, man, I need me some of this football.
And then you get Carolina and Tampa.
How about this turd?
Yeah, and here's a camera shot that looks good once in a while, but every other camera's down, so you got this. And then
it's a
rain out.
Real field goal battle we had going on.
Oh, my God.
There.
When did NFL games also start getting rained out? Like what the hell,
call
man?
Call them soft now? I mean,
yeah.
It was lightning. It was lightning. Lightning was in the air.
Get your ass out there and play. So, anyway, we got suspended last night and camera angles that nobody liked. We'll get more into that as the morning rolls along here on 610 Sports Radio. We'd be remiss not to talk about this being the final time, too, where the Chiefs are going out to Oakland and playing the Raiders and getting set for what is the final time in, well, maybe not the final time, depending on the Vegas.
Are we
going
to try to
right?
reminisce about that turn of a stadium?
The more I thought about it last night, I started to think about the one time.
Like, who's going to miss going to that stadium?
People will, though. The fans will.
I mean, the atmosphere, maybe. Like the idea of, like, the black hole,
right,
and Raider Nations. But all those people are going to go to Vegas, right?
I don't know, man.
Dude with the spot with Dr. Doom, isn't that his
name?
Yeah.
Maybe, though. I don't know. I don't know that you can recreate that Oakland atmosphere in Vegas, because you know what it's going to be. It's going to be a ticket that nobody can afford, and it's going to be for the high rollers that fly into Vegas at the casinos.
The stadium did look pretty badass, at least the mock-ups of it.
Yeah, right? It looks like I can't afford to get into that place. And so you like these old kind of stadiums that people can still get into and still have that black hole and that atmosphere, and it's a dump, but it's going to be one of those dumps that you miss. And I was thinking about the only time I went to a game out there, and it was December of 2002, and it was the last game of the year that year for the Chiefs. They ended up 8-8 that season, and they got waxed by the Raiders, like 24-28-0, something like that. And I think that's the year the Raiders were either coming off the Super Bowl or going into the Super Bowl. And I remember going to that game, and it was raining, and the press box was leaking, and the Jayhawks were playing Cal next door in the arena. So I did both games that day, and you walk like under the tunnel in between the two venues. It was kind of cool. And it rained, and it was terrible, and it was a mess, and Carl Peterson was sitting behind me.
Sounds like you had a real good time.
I did, though. I mean, Carl Peterson sitting behind me, I'm listening to the headset of all the calls and yelling and things like that and getting very animated about what was going on. But I saw something at that game that day that I've never seen before at an NFL game, and we'll tell you what that is coming up here on 610 Sports Radio. Plus, we'll give you our fantasy pick to pop, and there's one thing the Chiefs need to do in order to get a win this weekend. We'll tell you what it is next.
Fesco in the morning.
Is here at Hillcrest Golf Course today for the BMA Golf Tournament, and we will talk more about that as the morning rolls along. You can go to bmafoundation.org and make a donation today, and all the money stays here in Kansas City, helping out so many different great foundations in the Kansas City area, including guys like Bags of Fun, Noah's Bandage Project, Team Smile, all kinds of great foundations like Charlie's House, all get benefited today by this BMA Foundation Golf Tournament that we are having out at Hillcrest. And of course, Carrington is the big big news today. Eliminated from the Survivor pool yesterday with his pick of Carolina. He has been officially eliminated from the, that needs to be in your sports update at the top of the hour, Ryan,
Please
write that down. Josh is off today. He is out and about with the Kansas football team, I guess, in Boston, Massachusetts. So he will be back later on next week. So it is Ryan and I for the next couple of days. We'll get into our fantasy picks to pop here, brought to you by Smokehouse Barbecue. You can win a prize pack courtesy of Smokehouse Barbecue, including a $50 gift card and assorted sauces and spices. Hey, they're catering the golf tournament today, so you can get your Smokehouse on out here at Hillcrest as well. Make sure you get the beef short rib and, of course, the Cajun butter chicken wings at Smokehouse Barbecue. Josh has the first pick today, but because he's off, our guy Kramer filling in is going to make the pick and throw the whole thing for Josh Klingler today. Who are you going with, Kramer? We're picking running backs.
Someone to help out Josh here. I'm actually going with another Josh. Josh Jacobs of the Oakland Raiders on my pick.
All right, there he is. He's going with the Oakland Raiders.
Kramer, a fan of the Cardinals.
Uh-huh.
He's also a fan
of
Oakland. He showed the day we had the wiffle ball tournament, shows up wearing a Cardinals shirt. And we made him change his shirt because we're like, we're not going to let you wear that.
You're not going to be a Tate Moore wiffle ball champion wearing a Cardinals shirt out there.
And then today he shows up rocking. And look, he was looking very fresh. I'm not going to lie, Kramer. But he was rocking a Raiders hat and a Raiders jersey.
Is he a misplaced person here in Kansas City rooting for the Raiders and the Cardinals?
He was a good-looking jersey.
May have to take some stock into what's going on back there today. I got the second pick, and I talked to my man Josh up at Smokehouse. We're going with Saquon Barkley this week.
Going out on a limb there,
Saquon Barkley against the Buffalo Bills this week. So we will go Saquon Barkley with our pick. Who you got today?
I am bringing up the rear. I was very impressed with his performance last week. We'll go with him again this week. Alvin Kamara will be my running back that I'll go with this week.
All right, so remember, Kramer took Josh Jacobs. I took Saquon Barkley. Ryan took Kai Kamara. And those are the picks for the Fantasy Pick the Pop. Remember that at Monday at 6:15. And whoever was the winner, you call in and you could win a $50 gift card and assorted sauces and spices from our friend up at Smokehouse Barbecue. I told you the only time I went to Oakland, I saw something at a football game that I'd never, ever, ever seen before, and that was an assistant coach walking down the highway before the game because traffic was so bad. I don't know if you remember Joe Avezzano or not, but he was like the special teams coach for the Oakland Raiders and kind of reminded me of Cosmo Kramer. I mean, if we're on the subject of Kramer right now, kind of like an older version of Cosmo Kramer. And the traffic was so bad at the Coliseum, nobody could get in that day for whatever reason, I guess because you had a basketball game going on and a football game at the same time. Joe Avezzano ditched his car on the side of the road and walked into the game. And
that's
there's
a power
this guy.
Play.
And it wasn't a walk. It was a strut. Like, that guy was power walking and
arm
strut.
Swinging.
Oh, God, yeah. He was moving
like
through
the
traffic.
Like the bushwhackers coming in.
And I remember looking. I go, that's Joe Avezzano there walking through traffic to get to this football game because he couldn't get in. And so that's the first time and last time, really, I've seen an assistant coach ditch a car to get into a football game. And it was really quite entertaining to watch. We lost Joe back in 2012. He's no longer with us. So, but that was things that I saw at that game, and so for the final time in Oakland, that's always going to be like my memory of the Oakland Coliseum is Joe Avezzano some 18 years ago or whatever it is now,
strutting in
like he owned the place, man, like he was going to take care of business that day at the Coliseum. And so that is my memory of the Oakland Coliseum. We mentioned the Chiefs run game and you know, Kramer takes Josh Jacobs, but I don't think that's necessarily a horrible pick this week because of what the Oakland Raiders are going to try to do against the Kansas City Chiefs. And I was doing some reading last night about like what we learned this week for the Oakland Raiders, you know, out there, and it's kind of nerdy. But the one thing that I saw that really jumped out on the page, and it's something we've talked about a lot, Ryan, over the last couple of weeks, is that balance between running the football and throwing the football, and how when the Chiefs get out of whack and they don't run the football enough, that's normally when they lose a football game. Well, the Oakland Raiders want to get out there and run the football as much as the Kansas City Chiefs want to run the football. They want to get a 50-50 split in order to have that success. Earlier in the week, their offensive coordinator, Greg Olsen, who's now coordinated every team in the NFL, I think.
The tight end for the Panthers?
The former tight end for the Panthers, yeah. He spoke about the run game and what the Raiders want to do this week.
We're built to run the football. I think when you look at our running back now and you look at our offensive line, the tight end situation, we're built to run the football. And, you know, there are a lot of statistics and analytics out there that prove that running the football is still important in the National Football League. And we're not ever going to veer away from that. And we feel right now that we have the players to run the football.
And he's right about that. I mean, it's such a passing league, and we're so accustomed to the quick strike, fast-powered offense that we see here in Kansas City all the time. But really, to win football games, the basics are still the same. Run the football and stop the run. And if Oakland runs the football well, like they did last week, they were a 50-50 split. Like, I think they even had more runs than passes last week. I think they ran 28 times and threw the ball 26 times. And I know I sound a little bit like Jay Binkley, but this kind of concerns me, Ryan, because the run defense for the Chiefs has not been where it needs to be.
Wait,
over
what?
The last couple of years, right?
That's interesting.
The last couple of years, it has not been where it needs to be. And if Oakland starts to get this ground game going, they're going to have an opportunity to set up their passing game. And with these Chiefs cornerbacks that everybody's, you know, upset about, it could be a long day for that defense. Not that they're going to lose the game, but a better team could potentially expose this Chiefs defense for what they can't do. And until they show they can stop the run, people aren't going to believe they can stop the run.
I mean, there's a piece of me that kind of wants to make fun of it because, like, this is 2019 NFL, right?
Right.
Like, we're not in the, you know, late 90s, early 2000s, pound the pill, you know, Jamal Lewis style football,
sure.
Right? Like, but on the other side of that coin, to me, like, that's the type of team that's going to give the Chiefs fits. Mm-hmm. Like, I said it last week, I'll likely say it again this week. Like, I think if the Chiefs don't win the time of possession battle, that's when you find yourself in real, real trouble. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you know, we do Chiefs lose if, Chiefs win if at 9 o'clock. That'll likely be my Chiefs lose if, because to me, that's the way to win against this Chiefs. And then look, it's not rocket science. Like, you keep the offense off the field, mm-hmm. and you make the defense make plays, and it's been shown that they don't have the ability to do that, Bob. So
right.
You know, last week Leonard Fournette a little bit over 5 yards per carry. I mean, they were playing from behind largely in that game, but I think that if you can control the tempo of this game and you can grind it to a halt for the Chiefs and make them have sustained drives as well. You know, we heard earlier in the week from David Carr, who said, I think that's the way to beat the Chiefs. Well, look, they have success on sustained drives, but keeping the ball out of their hands, keeping that defense on the field, and keeping them tired, because by the time the fourth quarter rolls around, look, that defense doesn't make great stops anyway.
Right.
I can only assume that a tired version of that defense will be even worse.
You know, the rumors out there that they're clearing all this cap space and they're going to go out and make a big splashy move or potentially use that money to sign Chris Jones and get that extension taken care of before the offseason gets here, and then you don't have to worry about really franchising anybody. You know, that you got Tyreek Hill and potentially Chris Jones done when it comes to getting, you know, contracts taken care of for guys. And everybody loves Chris Jones because he's fun. Because he's fun, because he gets sacks, but that dude needs to play better against the run. I mean, I think all of those guys on the front line need to take it personal, and they need to play better against the run, because I keep going back to that final play against New England. Those dudes were blown out of the back of the end zone, man. They were blown into Eastern Jack on that, or Western Jack, or whatever Jack County that part of the county is. They were blown out of the stadium in that last play with Rex Burkhead rolling into the end zone. And that right there was the perfect play to sum up the Chiefs' defense from a year ago. And you mentioned Leonard Fournette getting 5 yards a carry. If they let Josh Jacobs get going this week, man, he could potentially be the difference maker in the Chiefs winning a football game and the Chiefs winning a football game. And with Oakland coming off that first week performance, those dudes got a lot of confidence this week, man. There's a lot of confidence coming out of Oakland. And if they get some success early, they're going to build on that confidence that they got from beating the Denver Broncos.
I just want to take this time, too, to reflect on the fact that Carrington was eliminated in week two of a survivor pool that was double eliminated.
That's exactly right. Yeah, that's a good point to bring up.
Just wanted to make sure
at this point.
I'll be reminding people about that all day.
Yeah, coming up here on 610 Sports Radio, we'll shout it out, 69306 on the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line. You can bring in whatever it is that you want to discuss, and we will talk about it, 69306 on the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line. We're at the BMA Foundation Golf Tournament today out at Hillcrest Country Club. Coming up, is Patrick Mahomes' ankle going to be okay? Well, Eric Bieniemy weighed in on it, and you don't want to miss with the OC. C has to say about the QB's ankle next.
Fesco in the morning.
What are you laughing at? We're back at Hillcrest Golf Club here on 610 Sports Radio for the BMA Foundation, golf.org. Make your donations today. All the money raised stays right here in Kansas City. We'll get to shout it out here in a minute on the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line. Text your topics, whatever it is that you want to talk about, and we will discuss. Josh is off today. Ryan is in with me here at Hillcrest. You're laughing like a little schoolgirl over there, Ryan.
I it's a long story.
We can't even get to it.
Bob basically intimated that America beating the British was an easy task.
I mean, like, they just came in like a wave. You just had to sit there and pick them all off. I was like, boom, 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 done. I mean, like, there was no strategy for the British.
Of farmers just, like, fighting against an established nation.
Right, and exactly. That's why the farmers won, because they hid out in trees and behind corn and shot the British as they're wearing red coats walking in a straight line. It was like easy target practice, man.
I don't think you're
the British are coming. Brrr, done. Take care, British.
That's not how
and
that
we have captured the flag, and we have now formed our own nation. So that's the way it has worked for the American Revolution.
I saw Mel Gibson melting down his kids' toys to make bullets. So it wasn't that easy, okay?
Any way you could make a bullet back then, you had to do it to beat the British. The big concern coming into the week for everybody, I think, was what's going to happen. Oh, wait, breaking news. Carrington is eliminated from
that's
the Survivor
right.
Pool.
We've got
to get to that.
Double
constantly.
Elimination.
Double elimination.
And it took 2 weeks.
Well, not even 2 weeks, man.
You
a week and a game.
Suck.
Yeah, you're out, man. We took Carolina last night in Cleveland.
Like, do you think
one.
People are going to listen to any of his takes now?
How
they're just
going
to remind him about
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
like, I mean, you don't know anything
this,
about football.
This is one of the worst things that could possibly happen. Sports radio host eliminated in week one plus of the Survivor
He didn't
pool.
Even make it to the second Sunday.
He didn't even make it to Sunday, man, and he's already gone out of the Survivor pool. So Carrington has been eliminated from that.
Sure, I put that
but
in my update.
Make sure you get that in there. Yeah, but one guy who's not been eliminated, Patrick Mahomes, and he injured that ankle.
Was he playing?
He was going to be playing. Yep, he's going to be participating in the game this weekend against the
no,
Raiders.
No, I meant in our Survivor pool.
Oh, and he's still alive.
Yeah,
he has not been eliminated.
I didn't know he was part of it.
Not on the injury report, really, this week.
I would have picked him.
Full bore, ready to go, and Eric Bieniemy, the offensive coordinator, talked about Mahomes' ankle and what they're going to do this week with Patty Cake, make it shake.
He was full go yesterday, and one thing, we're not changing anything. We're not deviate from the game plan. We're going to go out there and beat the Kansas City Chiefs, and Pat's going to be Pat.
And that's what you want, man, Pat being Pat, and that's a good thing because obviously the Chiefs need a healthy Patrick Mahomes. But more importantly, I think the scare in week one was probably good for everybody on that team, especially those five fatties up front, the offensive linemen. Like, hey, bro, start blocking somebody out here. And you may not give up sacks, but you can't get this kid hit. We cannot afford to have Patrick Mahomes get hit because teams are gunning for him. We'll talk about it later in the show, some of the former Browns and what they're saying now that they're on the Jets and what Odell Beckham Jr. is being told about guys like Greg Williams, the former defensive coordinator of the Browns and now with the Jets. Guys are going out there, they're targeting certain players, and that to me is going to be a real issue with Patrick Mahomes, and that's why the onus on the offensive line becomes even bigger because you're not just protecting a quarterback, you're protecting an MVP, a difference maker, and a guy that takes a team from a 10-6 football team to a 12-4 Super Bowl contending type of football team.
Well, while we talked about giving the defense a little bit of a pass last week, I'm kind of willing to give the offensive line just a small pass, right?
Sure.
Because, like, I don't want to see Patrick Mahomes taking those types of hits. And you're right. Like, we saw some pretty big hits on Mahomes last week. But, number one, I would say that Calais Campbell and that defensive line, they're not easy to block.
No, Josh Allen's going to be a really good player in this league.
I think also as the game was going on, you saw the chippiness kind of start to get in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that kind of fueled some of that as well. I don't know if they came in with the intentions. I mean, obviously, you want to get to the quarterback as much as you can, but I don't think they came in with the intentions of trying to, you know, hurt this guy. I don't think there was a bounty gate going on. But I think as the game got a little more chippy, I think that kind of settled into their mind. Fine, you know what? We're going to start hitting your quarterback
right.
a lot. The thing that I did take some solace in, though, is that Andy Reid was able to adapt. He was able to switch things out. He started using more quick drops. He started getting the ball out of his hands a lot faster to avoid those types of hits. And so, you know, at least I know that if that is starting to become part of the game plan, that there's an adjustment to be made.
Well, and also, though, too, this week it's the Faders, and so you're taking on a team that is known to be dirty and known to be nasty and known to be disgusting, and so hopefully they don't carry that over into the game this week against the Chiefs and do stuff after the play. That's where you really get into trouble. If you want to watch Patrick Mahomes this week, go out to Winning Streaks inside of Harrah's. We got 50-cent wings. We've got half-price appetizers.
Yeah.
Casey Beer Company will be there. The guys from Lot D will be out there as well.
Charles from Leavenworth will be out there.
Yes. It'll be the spot to watch the game this weekend in Kansas City. Show and Vern hosting this week's watch party up at Winning Streaks. Let's shout it out, shall we? 69306 on the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line. You text the topic. We'll talk about it, whatever it is that is on your mind on this beautiful Friday.
913 asks Full Metal Jacket or Platoon.
I'm a Full Metal Jacket guy for the first 90 minutes or so of that movie when they're in boot camp. You know, once they get out of the boot camp and go to the other stuff, I kind of wait.
That's when the realness hits,
but,
Bob.
Nah, but I love the boot camp stuff, bro. Like, to me, that is epic. I have to go back and watch Platoon. I probably haven't watched that.
I mean, Platoon's
years.
A great movie.
Yes.
They're both great movies. I, you know, just to be different, I'll take Platoon.
All right, but I love Full Metal Jacket.
Donuts or bagels in the office?
Well, if I'm in New Jersey, it's bagels, yeah. but here it's donuts. Give me some Dunkin', man, any day of the
week. I feel like it really depends on the donut. Meshuggah's got an, or the bagel, Meshuggah's got a nice one. The, if you got a good schmear, too, a good schmear, that sets it off. Finish this sentence. If I suddenly became the owner of the company I work for, the first thing I would do is blank.
Ooh, retire.
That's actually not a bad. That's actually not a bad response. The Bucks uniforms are by far the worst, says the 707.
Did anybody see when they went into the locker room during the lightning delay? Like their numbers were glowing. It looked like bike reflectors that you had back in the day on the back of their jerseys. I'm trying to go through my head real quickly of the ugliest uniforms in the NFL. I'm not like sometimes I like Seattle, sometimes I don't like Seattle. Bucks are pretty awful, man. Like they took what people thought was an awful uniform at the time with the creamsicle and really turned it into an awful uniform. The one they had in between was okay.
The NFL. Like the really iconic jersey, like the Cowboys, right? Like,
yeah.
It's just
plain.
Plain. Like, yeah. Guess what?
We Packers. It's plain. I mean, you know, so yeah, too much with the Bucks.
I would say
on.
The Bumblebee throwbacks for the Pittsburgh Steelers are by far the worst uniform.
But they don't wear them all the time, though. We're talking about it like an all the time type of uniform. It's pretty bad.
What makes you feel uncultured? For me, it was not ever hearing of hummus until college.
Oh, wow. What makes me feel uncultured? Probably being at the golf course.
Yeah, that does actually.
Being at the golf course makes me feel uncultured.
I'm around people that make more than 100K a year, gets me a little nervous.
Gets you a little nervous, right? Like, well, yeah.
I don't know this life. What is this?
Oh, they're going to play golf today, huh? Must
Jif
be nice.
Is the king of peanut butter. Who's the queen, Peter Pan or Skippy?
Skippy, probably, I would say. Peter Pan, I think, is a distant third. I think Peter Pan's like, you know, like the third one, the jack in you know, cards. Like, you
what's
got the
one
king,
that
you
choosy
queen,
moms?
You
the, that's Jif.
Choosy moms do choose Jif. Yeah, we have Jif at our house all the time, usually because it's on sale at Costco.
Oh, that's nice. By the way, Carrington's out of the air.
That's right. I don't know if you guys heard that or not. Carrington has been eliminated from the Survivor pool.
Headed to Great Bend this weekend, says the 913.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, let me know how the middle of nowhere goes for you. Does Patty Mahomes prefer Truly or White Claw?
Well, our guy Nick Paradise here at the golf tournament brought in a case of Truly today. I tell you, I've been drinking this stuff for years now. It's just LaCroix mixed with vodka, man. Do it yourself. Get it going. You can make it yourself.
So you were doing it before it was cool.
I was, yeah. Now all of a sudden, Truly and White Claw, they're all good, man. I like them all.
I'm going to go with that. I'm going to go with White Claw.
Yeah, I think he is a White Claw guy because you can't find White Claw, and it's the most popular one, and that's kind of like what Patrick Mahomes is the most popular
816,
one.
Are the Star Wars prequels good or no?
I don't know. I didn't see most of them.
Okay. Yes, the answer is they are all good. Okay. Lions have ugly uniforms.
I disagree. I love them.
I love them. The blue that they have on there.
I love their uniforms because it reminds me of Thanksgiving and eating, you know, turkey and stuffing.
816 says CDOT's football knowledge is about as good as Machine's dating knowledge.
No, that's probably true. Yeah,
it's hurtful, but true.
Really good.
Sometimes
the
truth hurts.
The problem is, though, CDOT can't just chew it and do it. At least Machine's got a backup plan.
775 says getting outfield tickets this weekend. Will they take my Soler home run ball if I get them?
You know what? What would you? Because I'm going to the game this weekend tonight. Actually, we're going out with the family. If you get Soler's ball tonight, where he ties Mike Trout for the league lead in home runs, what are you holding out for, man? Because you know they're going to come up to you and they're going to say, "Hey, we want that ball. He's tied for the league lead." What are you holding out for?
I don't think they're going to.
You don't think so? You don't think that's a big ball?
Historic ball. Maybe Mike Trout hits one the next day.
That's a good point.
Now you're no longer tied with it.
That's a fair point.
No, I think you're fine. Bring your glove.
But you know what? Last game of the season is a Sunday game here at Kauffman Stadium. If he hits a home run and wins the home run championship that day, they're going to want that ball.
913's got a softball tourney this weekend. Shout out to the Village Idiots.
There you go. Good luck. Good luck, good luck, good luck. We got softball on Saturday and Sunday.
I assume that they intentionally spelled idiots with two O's.
Idiots. I don't know.
Interesting. Somebody want to know whatever happened to today in history.
Yeah, well, it went bye-bye. Yeah. Kind of went, we finished it. We got everything taken care of.
We did it for like a year and a half.
Yeah, nothing was new anymore.
No more history is happening.
Nothing is happening anymore. So there it is. Shout it out here on 610 Sports Radio. We are at Hillcrest for the BMA Foundation Golf Tournament. Check them out at bmafoundation.org. Coming up, if this guy comes back, you absolutely 100% have to boo him, and you would have the right. We'll tell you what potential former chief is thinking about a comeback next.
Fesco in the morning.
All right, back at it here at Hillcrest Golf Tournament for or golf course, I should say, for the BMA Golf Tournament. You can check him out at bmafoundation.org. Jerry Anselmo, head of the foundation, told me he's on his way. Security will not allow him in to the golf tournament, so you don't have to worry about anything today,
good.
Ryan. Everything is going to be taken care of. We've got three security officers right here, not letting him anywhere near this golf course today. We got to give a shout out though, man, on the Protein House Eat with a Purpose text line.
That's
this
right.
This guy, or maybe it's a gal, I don't know. But they didn't specify.
I assume it's a man. I don't think the woman would be in any, you know, sense to really be sending a text at this time.
Right.
913 says they're in the delivery room at the hospital with us on the app. So
okay. Well, congratulations.
I'm glad that I could share this with you.
Yeah.
I'm glad that we can, you know, be a part of your birth.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And if
hope you're doing, everything comes out okay.
If you're doing natural childbirth and not a C-section, just let me say one thing. Push. But I'll tell you what, if it was Tammy from the Westin and she was pregnant, she would definitely have us on in the delivery room. There's no question about that. So she doesn't want to miss a moment of the show.
That's weird.
No, I'm just telling you, man. I'm just being honest with you right now. We are going to maybe, possibly.
Oh, Jimmy Gaffney's on his way, too.
Oh, Gaffney's
local
on his way to the
celebrity
golf course?
Jimmy
All
Gaffney.
Right. Yeah, that's right. Gaffney did sponsor a hole out here today, I believe.
Oh, wow.
So I think Gaffney is
you
on his way
think he's going to bring us some
today.
More of those unopenable mugs?
Probably so. If anybody can open the Gaffney mug when he gets out here.
The jaws
Good
of life to
Lord,
get that
my
thing
God.
Open.
When, if
it's
this,
a lovely mug.
It's a great mug. I think. I can't open it. It's a fantastic mug. But if you see this guy back on the football field and he ends up playing for the Oakland Raiders, we have every right to boo him maybe more than we've ever booed a former member of one of our teams before, and that is Eric Berry. A story surfaced yesterday, and I think I think this is part of the reason why the internet is a little bit dangerous when it comes to reporting news and things of that nature. I think it's a little bit uninformed, but obviously.
Wait a minute, what? You could just say whatever you want on the internet?
You can.
Huh.
But this is with Bleacher Report, so it's somebody creating a story and a headline and whatnot. But it's one that was enough to motivate me and get me to have a reaction to it because I am in this situation with Eric Berry where I really like what Eric Berry did when he played for the Kansas City Chiefs, but I don't like the way it ended with Eric Berry and the Kansas City Chiefs. And we all know that the Raiders suffered a big injury at their safety position in week one of the regular season, and they're looking for a safety. And Bleacher Report wrote a story about maybe Eric Berry being a perfect fit for the Oakland Raiders. And I heard that, read that, saw that, freaked out, got mad, got angry, and said, you know what, if he does end up signing with the Oakland Raiders and comes back to Kansas City, I'm going
to
boo Eric Berry.
It's good
because
to see the thought process was sensible on that one.
It really was. But the way that it ended, Ryan, was really, 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 really bad. I don't remember an athlete going from such high regard in Kansas City to a guy that we all loved, a guy we all rooted for, to the end where everybody was like, man, it's time for you to go, man. It's just time for you to step aside and step out the door. And when they ultimately ended up releasing Eric Berry, I don't think people were necessarily upset about that. I think people were like, good, because of the way it ended last year with him saying it wasn't in his spirit to go out there and play. And then we find out that every Monday he said he was going to play. And then by the end of the week, it wasn't like he wanted to play. And so I think Eric Berry, ultimately, his tenure in Kansas City is going to be all over the board with how we remember him. But I don't think he is coming back. I don't think he wants to play football anymore. And I've said all along, that's fine. But the way that it went down last year is really leaving a bad taste in my mouth for the way that Eric Berry's career ended in Kansas City.
I mean, I don't want to just use a small snapshot of what he did here in KC to judge his entire body.
No, I'm saying his ending was really bad.
I think you are right. Like, he built up a ton of equity with the fans in Kansas City. I mean, not only his play on the field, but the whole Berry Strong thing and, him beating cancer. Like,
right.
All of those sorts of things. Like, those – that's compelling as hell, right? Like,
right.
That's those are the stories that we gravitate to as fans, we latch on to. I mean, everyone that I know at least has a story, whether it be their own story or someone that they know who's a cancer survivor or who you know lost the fight to cancer, whatever the case may be. Like, so those types of things really resonate with a lot of people. So I think that a lot of that goodwill was built up by Eric Berry. But I'll be honest with you, man, like, some of that kind of goes out the window when you end it that way.
Sure.
And you know, I jokingly said to you last night, you know, he quit on his team like a 12-year-old girl with a dance recital.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. Yeah.
Like, to me, it's just, it didn't feel like you were there when they needed you the most. And we heard a lot about, well, you know, EB's being an off-the-field leader and EB's doing this in the clubhouse and EB's doing this. And I don't feel like I ever saw any of that.
Right.
And I don't feel like we had a lot of people that were in the media that were saying, yeah, you know what, I'm seeing that in the locker room as well. Like what I saw in the locker room when I was at the games, after the games, I saw EB go and get his stuff and get the hell out of there.
Yeah, not want to talk to anybody.
Correct.
Not want to be bothered and all that kind
And don't get me
stuff,
wrong, he was
right?
a great player.
Great player. He was an amazing player.
I think
player.
The pick two is going to go down as one of those etched in your mind memories of EB. That game against, was it Carolina where he had that intercept? Like he almost single-handedly brought you back into that game. So I mean, there was a lot of great highs for EB, but as fans, it's what have you done for me lately?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the last memory you have of EB, at least what he was able to do was, you know, him kind of quitting on his team.
Yeah, not playing well in the AFC Championship game. Gronk owning him in that AFC Championship game, and the words of "It's not in my spirit" will always ring true for Eric Berry. And maybe in 10 years we're thinking differently of it. And I don't hold any ill will towards Eric Berry for going out there and not wanting to play. I get all that, but at least make that perfectly clear and let everybody know, hey, you know what, I really don't want to play, because each week the team thought he was going to be out there and be part of it. And when you're relying on somebody and counting on somebody and they're not there, that really stinks. And I ultimately think that this organization, looking back now, it was like a great job of covering for Eric Berry. I think Eric Berry owes the organization, Andy Reid, and everybody inside that organization a nice thank you very much, because I think they did a really good job of protecting Eric Berry and not putting him out there to the public of a guy who really didn't want to play. They're like, hey, it's day-to-day. We're with it. We want Eric Berry out there. We want him to be part of it. And I just think when we look back at his career, he went from awesome, awesome, awesome football player, cancer survivor that everybody could identify with, to guy who quit on his team at the end. And you're like, man, that was just a really bad ending. Like, you don't want your ending to be like that in a town or anywhere. You want your ending to be good. You want your ending to be, you know, where people remember it in a good way. And I think the ending stunk. And I really don't want to see him back with another team. I don't think he is going to be back with another team. But the Raiders could be a possibility, because they do need help at safety. But I don't think Eric Berry wants to play football.
I mean,
ultimately, that's what it comes to. You know?
Well, two things. Number one, you know, text line reminds the Falcons game. I know Falcons game he had the pick, too. I'm talking about completely different.
Two different games.
So, yeah. But with EB, I just think that, you know, number one, I will not fault anybody for signing anywhere, right?
Right.
He didn't ask to be cut. He didn't ask to be released. He didn't want out of Kansas City. Everything that, you know, we had heard, EB liked being in Kansas City. I mean, when he signed that long-term deal, he had every intention of staying here and fulfilling the agreement. So I don't. You know, knock
and then the injuries happen, man. And I've said it time and time again. You blow your Achilles and you just beat cancer. What's your incentive, man? You know,
like I don't knock him for wanting to go make a living. You are 100% okay in my book to go do that. Mm-hmm. I didn't boo Jamal Charles because he signed with the Broncos. I didn't, you know, worry about DJ going and playing with the Raiders.
Right.
Like all of those things, I don't really care about, because you're just making a living, right? I do think, though, that it doesn't sit well with a lot of fans. I mean, I think about it like, you know, a really good TV show. Like, I don't want to call Lost a great TV show, but I got roped into watching Lost. Last season of Lost sucked, man.
Mm-hmm.
The first five or whatever, however many they had, they were all pretty good, right? They had a good build-up to it. Let me down in the end, and I think we all have had a TV show that's done that to us in the past.
I think people always cite Friends as one of those TV shows where it hung on a little bit too long or something
like
that.
I
never really watched Friends, so I can't speak from that. But, you know, like, we'll go to the last episode of Seinfeld. The more that I watch the last episode of Seinfeld 20-some years later, the better it becomes to me. In the moment, it stunk.
I think even more recent Game of Thrones, a lot of people are very upset
about
the final season of Game of Thrones. I think that's the way that we look at football players. That's the way we look at a lot of things in life.
Sure.
And look, maybe it'll take us a couple years to really sit back and go, oh, you know what? Yeah, reflecting on the full body of work, you're right. I really liked all of Game of Thrones, and I know it let me down a little bit in the end, but it was really worth the trip. And you know, I shouldn't have booed and hissed about it.
Right.
But I think that's where we're going to be at with fans. So look, I'm not gonna get up in arms if EB signs with Oakland. I'm not gonna get up in arms if when he comes back to Arrowhead, people boo him. I don't think it'll happen.
No.
I mean, as you know, we've seen how all the former Royals have been received. We saw how Jamal Charles was received. I think you give him a standing O, and then we move on, and he's a Raider.
Do you think the career of Eric Hosmer ended better in Kansas City, or Eric Berry ended better in Kansas City?
Because, Eric Hosmer.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, he went out
and he got a tip of the cap,
ovation. And when he comes back next year, when the Padres come into town, I think it's going to be a really nice standing ovation, and fans can understand ultimately why Eric Hosmer ultimately left the Kansas City Royals. And he gave his all to the Kansas City Royals. I think the problem with Eric Berry is He didn't give his all at the end, and I think that's going to rub fans the wrong way.
Text line mentioning Walking Dead. I was out on that show like a season and a half into
Were
it.
You?
I wouldn't really. How I Met Your Mother, also another show I was out after about three seasons. And the last two seasons of The Office, 785 says were terrible.
Yeah, The Office was that. That's the one I
kind of liked
yeah.
it, though. I get it. Michael Scott held everything together.
Yeah.
But I kind of liked exploring some of the other characters. I don't, they're not as good as the beginning, but
yeah.
I'll watch
that
it.
Was a show that came out of the gate so strong and then ribs fizzled at the end. Coming up in about 5 minutes, something major happened at the radio station yesterday that we have to address. But first, what the internet was freaking out about yesterday.
I get my news from the internet like every other normal person under 70.
Has the whole world gone insane?
It's all fantastic with the internet.
I'm not freaking out.
Well, they have the internet on computers now.
Oh, won't somebody please think of the children?
Oh, the internet.
Ah, yes, the internet was freaking out, and it's brought to you by Broadway Deli, a mostly Jewish deli for a mostly not Jewish city. Now open in the Crossroads, it's the official deli of 610 Sports Radio, and it is also Free French Fry Friday over at Broadway Deli. So give yourself an opportunity to get free French fries today down at Broadwingles. In the Thursday night game, again, became the what America was freaking out about yesterday on the internet, and there were two camera angles that they used the entire game. Because, well, there was a power outage or lightning struck the cameras that were there at whatever stadium that is in Carolina last night. We saw a over-the-head camera angle that looked like it was basically kind of like a blimp shot, but closer than a blimp shot. And then we saw that, you know, roving camera that they have up in the sky, and everybody was freaking out about that. But come to find out, those were the only two camera angles that were available for the game because of the issues that they had, technically speaking. But again, nobody liked those issues and or camera angles. But the more I'm finding out, Ryan, the more that I watch football, the more I'm thinking, man, TV networks are trying to do really cool things and awesome things. Football fans just don't want it. They just want the sideline camera of the line of scrimmage, and everybody is going to be happy. I did like that over-the-head camera a little bit because you got to see things. Obviously, I don't want to see that on every play. Yes, I got a case of vertigo last night watching the game, but that wasn't because Fox and NFL Network wanted to do it that way. They had no other choice but to do it that way. So for me, I don't mind the different camera angles. I like the different camera angles, but I think for the average football fan and the average person who watches the game right now, hey, we just want, give me the line of scrimmage camera and let's call it a day, right?
I mean, I think that just ultimately any type of change people just hate, right? Like, we don't like to try things new. It's almost like, you know, you've got kids, Bob. You know, it's trying to get your kids to try broccoli for the first time.
Oh, God forbid, yeah.
I tricked my kid into eating broccoli.
How did you do that?
I put in some rice, like a little cheesy rice with some broccoli in there. He asked me what the green stuff was. I said, it's herbs and spices.
Ooh, very
and
nice.
That's where he shoveled it into his face. I said, that was broccoli.
And what did he say? Did he get mad at you?
Oh, I knew that. I knew that. Yeah, I knew that. I said, you hate broccoli. Yeah. Why would you eat it?
That.
Yeah, he didn't know that. He tried to play it off.
As Roy Biggin says, if it's green, it's trouble. If it's fried, order double. So you good. Move by you, like putting it into the rice.
I like to take advice from a man named Biggins.
Yeah.
But I do think that it's just one of those things, like, we don't like change. We're averse to it. You've got to sneak it in subtly. You can't just all of a sudden do it. And look, there were some mitigating issues. I mean, you had camera systems that were down. There's apparently, regulations on how many camera systems you're allowed to use during a lightning strike and things like that. So there were some issues surrounding it that made it have to be that way. But look, for people just to get up in arms about it, I think, number one, watch the game. Just watch it. Just look at it.
Like, yeah.
It's not that difficult to follow all these people. They're showing you the all 22 view from behind. People are losing their mind. Oh, I got to get binoculars to see the wide receiver. I'm like, it's follow the action on the field. What are you doing?
Yeah, but people used to pay. I paid for that all 22 one year. Afterwards, you could get it on NFL.com. I paid for it. I watched the all 22. I like it. I geek out sometimes with it. But I think ultimately, though, football fans, baseball fans, sports fans, hey, we want the game the way we want to present it. And all these new things are fine and well and good, but ultimately I don't think it appeals to the masses. And it was an unfortunate experience last night, but we've seen two unfortunate TV experiences in the first week of football in the
NFL. You got your tinfoil hat with you today?
I do, yeah.
You got your tinfoil hat with
you? I always have it on.
Good, good, good. Because I want to explore this real quick. 610, you're listening to 610 Sports Radio, KCSP Kansas City, WDAF HD2 Kansas City, a radio.com sports station. 913 on the text line suggesting the NFL sabotaging the camera angles to make the at-home product worse in order to get you to come to the game.
Oh, that's a great one, because I don't know if you guys noticed. Did you notice the seats in Carolina, though, last night? I know it was raining, and it was game two, and it was a Thursday night. But that upper deck, man, that was empty. You could see the line of where the people ended and where the seats began in the upper deck, and there was a good 10 to 20 rows across the entire upper deck that didn't have anybody in them. But that is a very interesting one. I like that a lot. Bravo to you, my man. Bravo to you.
I've always said, if you want to get me to the stadium, you've got to offer me things that I can't get at the in-home experience.
Sure.
Right? Give me these sweet, like, you know, WWE-style player introductions. I'd like to watch Chris Jones come out to that. That'd be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Have him talk smack on the big board.
Yeah, player intros at Arrowhead are really good. I mean,
not WWE caliber.
The experience at Arrowhead is really, really good.
Yeah,
and
they've got fire. There's pyrotechnics.
Yeah, I like it. I think if you can feel warm, especially on a cold day when the fire goes up, everybody gets heated because of that. But I think the at-home experience is where it's at, and that's a very good thing. With attendance dropping all over professional sports and people wanting to watch it on the television, yeah, I think ultimately that's a great conspiracy. I'm in.
I'm in on that as well.
I'm in on that. Yeah.
A horrible event occurred at the station yesterday. We'll get to that in just a second. But we give you a chance to win top of the hour each hour here on Fesco in the Morning. This hour's prize, Guitar and Horsepower Expo, a pair of tickets to that. It's coming up Saturday, September 21st at the Silverstein Ice Center's Arena. A car show event featuring custom bikes, cars, trucks with trophies and cash prizes, all brought to you by the Iron Workers Local Union Number 10. Food, drinks, live music, all kicking off at 4:30. Headlining artist Frankie Ballard. So this hour's prize is that pair of passes. When you hear this drop that I didn't prep Kramer for, going well.
Yeah.
Either way, how about we do this? How about
caller number five?
Caller number five right now. 913-576-7610. Sorry to put you on the spot, Kramer. Caller number five right now. 913-576-7610. We will hook you up with a pair of passes to Guitars and Horsepower.
Yeah, we'll hear from Eric Bieniemy in a moment on the situation involving Patrick Mahomes' injured ankle, but we talked about it, and we're going to discuss it all day long here on 610 Sports Radio, because it really is the biggest story that everybody is going to be talking about on 610.
Number one on my
It is.
Right,
you talk about Red Friday. You talk about Jorge Soler. You talk about all kinds of amazing things that are going on in sports. The most amazing thing that is going on in sports right now is Carrington has been eliminated from the Survivor pool through 1 week and one game. He didn't even make it to the second Sunday.
Didn't make it to the second Sunday of the NFL season.
Bravo. I mean, that's good work. I mean, you got to give it up for Carrington on this one, man. I give Carrington a standing ovation
on
this one.
I'm not giving
this is really out. Good. You've got to really that. Try to lose the Survivor pool and before the second Sunday of the NFL season, man. You went out with a bang, my friend.
My initial theory, I believe that Carrington just didn't want to do it. I think it's motivated by laziness.
Yeah.
I think he just didn't want to put in the legwork of finding a Survivor pick every week, so he just tanked it and decided to – it may actually be more difficult to pick losers. I don't know if you've ever done like a loser, like a reversey on that. It is difficult to pick losers. So, Carrington, come on, man.
So you think he did it on purpose?
I think he tanked the season. He sucked for luck in the Survivor pool because he just didn't want to have to do it.
But now he's got to live with the embarrassment. Like, this isn't one that you want to suck in. This is one where you want to, you know, battle for a few weeks, because now that you're eliminated in week two, nobody's going to let you live that down. You know what I'm saying? Like, this isn't going to be one that's going to be...
I mean, I don't know how you even listen to his takes on football anymore.
I mean, it's unbelievable. Now, I wouldn't go that far with it, but I mean, come on now. But I will say this, all that promo that we were running, oh, you know I'm gonna win, was in the promo, right? You've been eliminated before the second Sunday.
Wait, he said that in the promo?
The promo, yeah.
Oh, see,
everybody mocking me that I'm not gonna be any good. Carrington getting probably the most votes of everybody out there.
You didn't know
all y'all are eliminated, man.
I mean, and the sad part is it was a double elimination.
Right, it was double. It wasn't single elimination.
You had two strikes, bro.
This was double elimination, and this cat is out. He is no longer part of the Survivor pool. So everybody who chose Carrington and didn't go with you or me or somebody else, they have been eliminated, and that $250 Visa gift card is not yours now. You don't have a chance to win because Carrington let down everybody who picked for
text
picked
line
him,
suggesting,
you know,
that his spirit wasn't in it. I think that could be it.
Could possibly be it, Ryan.
Definitely,
but I mean, how do you think Carrington feels waking up today knowing he let down all of the listeners.
I think he's fine.
Him.
I think he's fine.
You think he is?
Yeah, he's fine.
Yeah, I would not be good with that.
I'm
man.
Sure his head hit the pillow pretty light last night. He didn't care.
I would not be good with that at all. That is just not a very good situation in which to be.
I mean,
so.
I think that at this point in his life, you know, he's into his 30s now. I think he's used to being ridiculed. So he's good with that.
Do you think he even knows he lost last night?
Yeah, he's aware.
Okay.
He's aware.
Okay.
He's definitely aware.
Are you sure?
I mean, I can text him. It's early in the morning.
Yeah, he's
I don't
not
know if
up.
He appreciate
Nobody's
that.
Up right now. So anyway, so Carrington has lost. He is out, eliminated, no longer part of
Spirit,
the survivor pool. One guy who's going to be good to go, it looks like, is Patrick Mahomes. Here's Eric Bieniemy talking about Patrick Mahomes and his ankle.
He was full go yesterday, and one thing, we're not changing anything. We're not deviate from the game plan. We're going to go out there and beat the Kansas City Chiefs, and Pat's going to be Pat.
And there it is. Pat's going to be Pat, and to me, that's exactly what we want to hear. I did not want to hear Eric Bieniemy this week say,
Pat was
well,
going to be Alex Smith.
Yeah, right, or Pat's going to be Matt Cassel, or Pat's going to be, you know, even Cam Newton at this point in time. But you see that injury last week, you see where Cam Newton is, you see what happened to Andrew Luck, and you start to look at Patrick Mahomes and go, how much of this kid are we going to get to see here in Kansas City, and are we going to be able to protect him to allow us to get the most out of him here in Kansas City? And that's where the onus comes on now, the offensive line, and you know, who needs to have a big game this week for the Chiefs to win? Is it Mahomes? Is it Sammy Watkins? Is it, you know, Shady? Is it the defense? Like, to me, this week, like, one of those, like, groups that needs to play well is the offensive line, because if they don't play well and this kid gets banged up and this kid gets hurt, that's a game changer. That's a different type of injury than Tyreek Hill. And so hopefully we can see the offensive line take their game to the next level. Like, if you want to be critical of somebody this week and really watch and expect something out of them, the offensive line has to take it to the next level.
Right.
Week.
I think they were part of the we're going to give you a 1 week pass.
Yeah.
Team, you know, I think the entire defense kind of got that 1 week pass.
Sure.
Hey, let's see how it works out with Spags. Let's see how this new system goes. Hell, I think you're probably going to give them. You said you're giving them a 4 week.
Yeah,
pass.
Yeah, 4 week pass. Yeah, absolutely. Give them to October.
Offensive line doesn't get that long.
No, they've been together.
They've
for
been
a
together
while.
Long I, enough. You know. They, you know, and you are protecting the biggest asset on this team. Again, you know, I told you when we were opening the show. Like, I think that the way that these quarterbacks have been dipping out of football early, and the way that Cam Newton, you would question whether or not he's still loves the game and plays.
Yeah.
I think that you have to protect, absolutely have to start shifting the focus to pass protection, because look, these guys are your biggest assets, and I know that it's great to have weapons around him. I would rather take a good offensive line over great wide receiver play. And
yeah.
That's and look, I not to say that I don't want talent around Patrick Mahomes. I don't want him to have to play from behind. I don't want him to have to play, you know, from a disadvantage, but I think that he can elevate that talent around him. He can't do that from his back.
No, he can't. And I think also, too, you know, as we progress throughout the season, the goal is obviously for everybody to be healthy and ready to go by the time January 20th or whatever it is rolls around. And, you know, the Chiefs are going to be playing in the AFC divisional game, then the AFC championship game, and then hopefully the Super Bowl. You want to have everybody healthy. The goal is not to go out there and dominate the regular season and peak in December or something like that. The goal is to peak in January and February. And the less wear and tear that Andy Reid can create for his quarterback, the better. I'm not opposed to running the football more in the regular season with this team instead of airing it out and setting all kinds of offensive records. Like, you're going to win these games. You don't have to. You don't need style points in the NFL. This isn't Nick Saban in Alabama having to win 62-3 to ensure that they get a spot in the BCS or something like that. This is the NFL. You can win 27-25 and nobody cares. I mean, the power rankings may care, but they're irrelevant. They're just something for, you know, fans and whatnot to talk about. So if his ankle is banged up and the offensive line is not doing what you need them to do, I'm not opposed to running the football, man, and taking some of that pressure and hitting off of Patrick Mahomes, because even with this team right now where they are, the defenses are still going to target Patrick Mahomes. They're still going to come after him. Even if he releases the ball, there are teams that are going to target Patrick Mahomes. And so I think it's in Andy Reid and in the best interest of the offensive coordinator, Eric Bieniemy, to just say, hey, here's what we're going to do. We know we're going to win these games, okay? And if we need to get a quick score, we can. But we're going to take as much pressure off of you as the quarterback and let the running backs do a little bit of it because we don't need style points to win. So I wouldn't be opposed to that going forward. 69306 on the Protein House Eat With a Purpose text line. Feel free to weigh in on that. Coming up, we're going to play a live edition of
Who We Talking About?
913-576-7610 is the telephone number. You can grab a phone line now. We will play Who He Talking About, plus a comparison between Cam Newton and Patrick Mahomes that I think most Chiefs fans are going to go, huh, I don't want to see that happen. Next.
Fesco in the morning.
Popcorn balls, yay or nay?
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.